welcome Pastor John Jimenez.
Thank you for that.
Praise the Lord, guys. Good morning. Coming to you from Pahrump, Nevada. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, all right. Praise God. Cool. Yeah, it's a beautiful desert. The word Pahrump literally means water from rock. When I found that out, I was really, really knew that I was supposed to be there because, you know, Jesus is water, the only one that can bring water from the rock. So let's pray, guys. Most righteous Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, this morning, and we just thank you for the opportunity to come together as men and to be sharpened up, Lord. And we ask, Lord God, now that your Holy Spirit could just rain down on us, God, that we would not be the same when we leave here today. Lord, we know that your word is life-changing, God, and just we pray that your Holy Spirit would breathe down on us this morning, God, and that you would touch each one of us in a special way, Lord, as we open your word and read and partake from you, Lord. And we know when we come to know you, God, and we sit at the table with you that no, we can go nowhere else and be the same as dining with you, Lord God. So just be our special guest this morning, God, Holy Spirit, and teach us, God, teach us as men what you would have us to walk away with today. Open our hearts, open our ears. May we be different men today when we leave this place. By the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a little bit about myself, guys. I've been around U Church for Christ since 2001. I went through the ranch as a man filled with sin in his life. The addiction of sin. I was a meth user for over 15 years. And I don't want to talk too much about that, but I want to talk about what the Lord has done. I went to U-Turn for Christ and prayed in for my family. Some of my family members were Christian. I remember going to the altar when I was a little boy. One of my neighbors invited me to church. He knew, he happened to know a lot about my family because he was my neighbor and he knew how broken my family was, and I believe that God, as God only can do, and asked him, moved on his heart to invite me to come and to go to church with him one morning. And of course, when you come from a broken house and you're looking for love in your own family and your own parents, and you're not really getting it according to God's will, when your house is full of evil, as my home was as a young man, he invited me to church, and I remember going going up for the altar call as a little boy and being baptized. I was probably maybe 11 or 12 years old. And God has just kind of completely done a work since then. Of course, filling me with the Holy Spirit. And from that time, I believe as a young man, and now bringing us to this point here today, years later. But a little bit about U-Turn for Christ. When I went to the ranch, I walked the first day. I walked the first day, and praise God for Pastor Anthony. I don't know, some of you may know him, some of you don't know him, but Pastor Anthony was really one of the icons in the ministry, helping the ministry get started, like many men who've come through. But I just remember that by the grace of God and him knowing the Lord and him knowing what the ministry was all about and him knowing what I needed more than anything was to go back to the ranch and to come back. And he allowed me to come back in. And he really didn't have to allow me to come back in. But I know that God had already gotten a hold of his heart. And he knew what was the best thing for me was. And he let me come back into the ranch. And praise God that he did. Because here we are 16 years later. Of course now. And God giving me a little word when I was there at the ranch. And we were building the kitchen there. And it's there, the main kitchen now that's there. And I remember hearing the Spirit of God speak to me, which I believe was the Spirit of God speak to me and say it would be nice to have a ranch like this someday. And years later, of course, in 2013, the Lord has delivered my wife and myself to Pahrump, Nevada, through many years of serving at U Church for Christ. So we had a hard time leaving. We were going to We were considering leaving because my oldest son lives in Nevada, and he was getting ready to start his family. And my wife and myself, we wanted to go be part of that. They had invited us to come out. And we were considering leaving California. I've lived in California all my life. Worked in a school district in Murrieta, drove a school bus there. Had a great job, and just really serving the Lord with U Church for Christ there. And I just was really enjoying my life. And we had decided to maybe move, and I talked to Pastor Jerry about it. And of course, it's amazing when you get a chance to talk to him about things about the Lord. And we were on a trip to Mexico on a fishing boat, and I had mentioned to him that I was having a hard time leaving California, being here all my life. But that wasn't the hard part. The hard part was leaving my family, of course, and my church family, my granddaughters, and then, but more than anything, it was my church family that I had come to receive the love of Christ at U Church for Christ in Paris, and then, of course, the Lord really capturing a big part of my heart there, and then me wanting to leave and not really knowing if I could leave and ever be the same. And, of course, God is great, and He's done above and beyond anything we could even imagine there in Pahrump, Nevada, as Pastor Jerry and I discussed me leaving, and I just told him that, you know, how can I leave? I just can't leave it. I can't leave my family, my church family. And he said that, you know, I know it's not going to be the same by you leaving, but he encouraged me to go and pray and possibly start a U Church for Christ in Nevada. And at the time, I knew that the vision that he received is to have a U Church for Christ in every state of the nation. So when he said that to me, I was like, he was serious, and it was hard for me to swallow, but he was definitely serious. So we started praying and seeking the Lord, and one thing led to another. And in 2013, the Lord provided 10 acres of land there in Pahrump. And then we were there a couple of weeks, and the Lord provided another 5 acres for a women's home, or for the ministry. Hopefully, will be a women's home later. Very close to the ranch, the 10 acres that we have. So when we got there and all those things got started, it was just continuing. God was continuing to make it clear, without a doubt, that He wanted this ministry there in that state. And we've been there since 2013. And we have, right now, we have the capacity to house 16 men on the first 5-acre parcel that we've developed. And it's been glorious. There's 10 men there now. And it's just been amazing as God is the one and only faithful one. So it's just, I still wake up days and I have to pinch myself or slap myself and just can't believe that God is really using me in this capacity as His servant and allowing me to oversee the men's home there and just being part of this incredible ministry that's not only nationwide but international. And to me, I still just stand in awe of what God has done through the ministry, and He continues to do with men and women, like men and women, mainly men, going out and being discipled by the ministry, and then going out, of course, and God raising us up and then sending us out to do different works. So I wanted to just share some of that with you guys to be encouraged, especially the U-turn guys. You know, it's amazing that, you know, 12 years or 16 years ago that I would have been right here like you guys out visiting different churches and different ministries, and of course God doing an amazing work and then sending us out. So be encouraged by that, guys, and know that this world has nothing for you compared to what the Lord has for you. This world has nothing for us compared to what our Lord Jesus has for us. So let's open up our Bibles to Romans 12, 1 and 2. One of my favorite memory verses that stuck with me for many years. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's just pray one more time before we read God's Word. Heavenly Father, thank You for this life-changing Word. Lord, we pray that You would just speak to us now clearly. individually as your will, Lord, is. We know that you speak to us all differently at times, Lord God. We pray that we just take away a new nugget today, Lord God, from what we read and what you've given me to share, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just guide me and that it would teach all of us here today. As we open up your word, Lord, may you be glorified in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Do I have to have this thing here?
No, you think about it. Well, it's going to pick you up.
Oh, this isn't picking me up?
No, that's just recording you.
Okay.
I can move it off.
That's okay. It's kind of bugging me. Great. Thank you. Romans 12:1-2. The Word of God reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable will and the perfect will of God. So Paul, writing here to the Romans, to other Christian brothers, he says there in the first sentence, he says, brethren, which means that we are brothers. But I want to focus on the second word that he says. This, when I studied this years ago, and I started really falling in love with studying God's Word and seeing what the words really meant back then compared to what we use now. And that word beseech is a very powerful word. And it's not something that men do anymore in our times. And I just encourage you to think about what I'm going to say here. And when Paul says that, I beseech you, he's saying, I'm begging you. He's begging you. And when I started studying and reading, I'm thinking, well, when a person begs, sometimes they get down on their knees. So there's been times when I've actually shared this verse with men who are stuck in the world and a sin-filled life. And I've literally got down on my knees and said, I'm begging you. Just as Paul is teaching here in Romans, he says, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And underline that part there, because the Lord gave me this not too long ago when I was reading this over again, as we do read God's Word over and over all the time, and it's awesome to do that. But underline there, by the mercies of God. Paul isn't saying by anything that he's done, but he's telling us by the mercies of God. And I cannot say that enough. He's telling us, he's begging us, by the mercies of God, that we present ourselves a living sacrifice. And let's talk about that for a minute. The mercies of God. What is that? We know that mercy is a judicial term. It's used in the judicial system when you go to court and you go before the judge and you say, Your Honor, I'm guilty. I am guilty as charged, but I'm pleading with you, Your Honor, do not, that the court would have mercy on me. Don't give me my full punishment. Right? We get a speeding ticket and it's $380. And we go in there and we say, Lord, Your Honor, I'm guilty, but do I have to pay the full penalty? We ask for that. And God, Paul tells us that God is giving us His mercy. He's full of mercy. That's one of His attributes. He's a merciful God. And Paul is using that word to encourage us what to do with our lives. As he says there in the next part of the verse, he says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You see, this is the best thing that you could do. It's the least you could do, as God has been so merciful to us. Right? All the things that I know that I've done in my life, and I understand how merciful God has been to me. How many times that I should have been dead and could have been dead or in prison. And just looking back now and understanding that God has preserved my life for His service. He's preserved my life that I would present it to Him. And that's the next part of the verse. He says that you present your bodies. So what he's saying is, the visualization for me is that I, like a soldier, as we are in U-turn for Christ, right? We're reading the full armor of God, understanding that we are becoming soldiers, weapons in God's hands. He says that you present yourself. So I visualize in my mind that I stand upright and I say, here I am, Lord, use my life. Here I am, God, fill my life with your Spirit. As Paul is encouraging us to do that. He said, present yourself. Stand up and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, use me, fill me. That I could be a living sacrifice for you. No longer giving way to the things of the world and what the world teaches us, as Paul will explain that. We'll go over that in verse 2. But he says that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And I have in my notes, underlined under holy, with my note, in my notes I put, to be addicted to holiness. One time I was not addicted to holiness, but we know we were addicted to sin. And I put that, just think about it yourself, guys, that we would have an addiction to holiness. That it would be something that we want all the time. To be presenting ourselves holy to God. How do we do that? We continue to do the things that we're doing here. We continue to be steadfast in God's Word. We continue to fellowship. We continue to serve at our churches. We continue to be in fellowship with the Lord in our personal time, and our devotional time, and serving in our community and in our home churches and beyond that. And Paul says, this is your reasonable service. Amen? Verse 2. And he says, of course, he says in verse 2, more recommendations, more instructions. He says, do not be conformed to this world. We know that something is conformed. We know the world is trying to shape us into what it thinks is good. And we know, all of us as men here, we know what that is now. Of course, getting stronger and stronger. It's literally to the point where people are inventing new types of sin. All over the place. There's just all kinds of new stuff is being invented. And I don't even want to go there because you guys know, just as well as I know, as the world is trying to push and shove and conform us to do what the world says is good. And Paul is telling us, do not be conformed. Don't let yourself be pushed into that thing that the world says is good. Because we know that the Word of God teaches that this world has nothing for us. The Word of God teaches that we are sojourners. This is our temporary dwelling, right? That death has no sting. Death only equals departure, according to the Scriptures. Death has no sting on us. We look forward, as we grow and walk in the Lord, we look forward to entering into eternal life, the promise that God, that Jesus Christ has given us, eternal life with Him. Death only equals departure. And if we have to depart, that means that we have to arrive to a new place. Right? According to God's Word. And you can study it out. You look at it and you'll see where Paul even told Timothy, it is time for my departure. He didn't call it death. He knew he was leaving and going to a new place. Some place that God has gone to prepare for him. In John 14, 1 and 2 says that. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not tell you, he said. And that word mansion means your final resting place. It's not like a mansion here on earth. It's much different than that, I imagine in my mind. A mansion here on earth, a man may build a mansion, a big beautiful home, but he has to come up and down off that hill and toil all the time. So, but Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. My Father's house are many mansions. And that word means your final resting place. And it's your final resting place because He's prepared the place for you and you don't need anything when you get there. Everything is already there because the Lord Jesus has prepared it for us. Amen? So don't be conformed to this world, guys. Don't allow the world to shape you. Allow the Lord Jesus to shape you. Allow the Lord to surrender your heart to the Lord. That's what this ministry is really about. It's about us. It's about the ministry and the Word of God leading you to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and surrendering your whole heart to Him. That's what He wants. He wants your whole heart. Go with me to Joel 2. Dan, can I get some water? Please. Talking about the heart, right, guys? There we go. There it is. Got buried. In Joel 2, verse 12, a call to repentance. That's what this ministry is all about, right? Repentance, turning. That's what the U is. That's what the U signifies. A turning away from your old lifestyle. A turning away from the way you used to think. No longer thinking on things that are not pleasing to God. Repentance, the word, that's one of the first words I learned at the ranch. The Greek word for repentance means metanoia. Metanoia simply means, it's two words, you can hear the two words in it, metanoia. Meta means, a metamorphosis means to change from one thing to another thing. Right? And noia means the way that you think. So a call to repentance in Joel 2, verse 12. And Joel, the Word of God reads, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." Then he says again in verse 13, "So rend your heart and not your garment. Return to the Lord your God." Of course, this message is constantly saying, turn, make the U-turn, make the U-turn. He says, return, right? "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful," just like Paul talked about, "slow to anger and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him and a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God." So what he's saying is be able to give the Lord your best there. But he says, see, look what he says in verse 13, guys. This is very important. You guys can relate to this, and I think it's kind of cool, because in our fleshly, manly bodies, when somebody tries to get in a, you guys can visualize this with me, if you will. If you get ready to get in a brawl with somebody, some guys will rip their clothing off, right? They're like, "Oh man, you got it. You're really in for it now, right?" They rip their clothes off. You ever seen somebody do that? It's like, "You bought the whole store, buddy. Here goes my..." But God is saying that's not enough. He's saying don't rend your garments. Don't rip your clothes off. He's saying rend your heart. That word rend means to rip out. God wants you to rip your heart out and say, "Here's my heart, Lord. Take my heart. Take over my life. I want to be a living sacrifice for you, God." And that's really what he's looking for, guys. He's looking for our heart, our mind, and our soul to be thinking on things that are pleasing to him, which Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about. "I beseech you," he says, "I beg you, that God has been so merciful to us, that you would offer yourself to him." That you would offer yourself to him. He wants you to willingly come, understanding that he's a loving, gracious God. Because he's been so merciful, Paul says, that you would offer yourself as a living sacrifice. No longer giving way to the conforming ways of the world. Guys, and we know the world is trying to push us into every mold and shape that's coming up, all the new sin. It's crazy. It's scary. It's insane. It's evil. It's evil what the world is trying to teach us as men. And God's Word is clearly telling us here, do not give way to the things of the world. If there's anyone here who's allowing the world to push them and shape them, just come up for prayer and we'll pray for you that God would remove those things out of your life. Because it's evident, it's clear that it's becoming overwhelming day by day as the world is getting stronger and stronger and God is getting pushed out of everything that we could imagine. There's an urgency, an amazing urgency every day, more and more, especially for the young children. Back to Romans. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Once again, when I read God's Word, I think it's awesome, and you guys probably, some of you may experience the same thing. I have visualizations as I sit there and meditate on the Word, and I ask the Lord to give me better understanding, give me a visualization, because I learn from hearing and from seeing. I'm not a really good student as far as in school and stuff. I was never a scholar. I really didn't read a lot until I got my Bible, and I started reading my Bible, and I actually ended up falling in love with the Word of God. I'm not a big reader, and that's okay. When you start reading God's Word and you see the power that's in it, you see your life inside of God's Word as He breathes into us as we read it, it creates a hunger and a thirst for His righteousness. You want to read God's Word more. And I encourage you to read it, to not read it quietly, but read it audibly so you can hear the Spirit of God speaking to you. Verse 2 again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Become something new, he says. And I just think the visualization of the little kids who have the Transformers, right? It's one thing when you look at it and you can just flip it all around and it becomes something new, immediately different, after just making some changes. And that's exactly what I see. God has made changes in my life. I've allowed God to come into my life and make changes, and we become transformed. New creation in Christ, a transformation. And he says there, by the renewing of your mind. We have to change the way that we think. That's what this book does. It changes the way that we think. It gives us the ability to think what the Bible teaches of thinking soberly. There's a difference between being sober and thinking sober-mindedly, according to what the Scripture says. You can be a sober man, and I have no problem with NA and Narnon and all that stuff. That stuff is fine. But it does not teach what this teaches. This teaches something much different at a higher level. It teaches us to no longer be thinking things that are not pleasing to God, but now being transformed by the renewing of our mind and thinking on things that are pleasing to God. That's what a sober-minded person does. He thinks on things that are pleasing to God. Right? That's what the ranch is teaching us. That's what God's Word is teaching us, to no longer be thinking the way we used to think. Repentance, right? Metanoia, changing the way you think. That's the key. You want to call it brainwashed? Praise God, it's a brainwashing. I need my brainwashed. The things I was thinking before I went to the ranch, I don't even like to repeat or think about it, because it makes me sick to my stomach. It hurts me deep in my soul, not because of that I did it, because who I did it to. Who I did it to the one and only who paid for my life. As I was reading last night in Galatians 3:13-14, Paul was writing to the Galatians and he told them, you have been redeemed. You have been redeemed, that Jesus Christ became a curse for you, that He hung on a tree. That means that He paid for us. He has paid for our life. He's proven His love for us. And let me tell you something, guys. You know, when you pay for something, if you pay for a new truck at the dealership, you go down and you pay. You don't get the short bed when you pay for the long bed, right? You say, no. I didn't pay for a short bed. I paid for a long bed. I want my truck. And Jesus Christ has paid for us, right? And He wants all of us. He wants our whole heart and mind. He wants every bit of us. And He's not going to settle for it until you surrender to His Lordship. So if you're dabbling with things of the world and you're still in and out of the world, you need to just come to a realization and look, God's relentless, man. He's coming after you. He's coming after you, guys. He wants your whole. He wants everything. 99% won't do. And if you're going 99% in, you're shorting yourself. You're shorting yourself because God is full of grace and full of mercy and full of love. And He has great things in store for us as we learn and surrender to His Lordship. And yeah, it takes time, guys. Some of you may be on your way there. Some of you may be getting closer there. And I pray by this teaching today that you would get even closer still to Him. And we would understand what Paul is telling us. That we would be not allow ourselves to be conformed to this world, but that we would be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that you may prove that we may prove to God what is good and acceptable in His perfect will. His perfect will is that we would come and offer ourselves to Him and become a living sacrifice. So Lord, my encouragement to you guys today is that you would consider that. And go over these two passages of Scripture yourself. These two passages of Scripture are what our Youth for Christ workbook is based out of. If you look in the workbook when you guys get home on the Ratchet Special, you'll see that Romans 12, 1 and 2 is in the beginning of the workbook. It's based on these two Scriptures. And just as Paul was begging then, I'm begging now, I'm using the same exact word. I beseech you, brethren, not by anything that I've done or what anything that the ministry's done, but what Jesus Christ has done. By the mercy of God, that you would present yourself holy and acceptable to God. Strive for holiness. Become addicted to holiness. Before we were addicted to things of the world. And I'm encouraging you today that we would learn and strive and move toward being holy. For Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. He's given us instruction to do it. And if He's given us instruction to do it, then He knows that we have the ability to do it. So that's one area we need to be striving for and moving forward and say, Lord, help me to be holy. Help me to be more like You, Lord. Take the things of the world away from me, God, that I can hold on to more of You. Just as John 3:30 said, was my life first last year. John 3:30 says, therefore, He must increase, but I must decrease. That's the hard part. God is going to increase all the time. But John 3:30 says, but I must decrease. It's got to be less of me and more of Him. Less of me and more of Him in my life. That I could have a renewed mind. And that I could push the things of the world out and away from me. And that I would understand that God's calling on my life is much greater than anything that this world has to offer. As Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world, guys. So I'm pleading with you, I'm begging you, just as Paul did, if we're brothers here coming to hear God's word and learn from Him, if the things of the world are coming into your life and overwhelming you and keeping you from Jesus Christ and walking with a closer walk with Him, push it out. Pray for God to purge it out. Push it out. Amen? Let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your great love for us. As we close now, Lord, in prayer and the time of worship, Lord God, thank You, Holy Spirit, that You've come and You've allowed us to hear from You, God, Holy Spirit. And I pray for each and every man, Lord, that heard this word today, and even the employees that work here, Lord. We know that Your word never returns void, Lord God. Thank You for putting Your Spirit in me, God, and allowing me to share Your words. Your words, Your Spirit, Lord. And I ask, God, that we would all just be able to take something away from today, and maybe we would be able to share it with someone else, Lord God, as we go home from this place, and we would share what Your Spirit has shared with us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that You would use our lives and that You would be glorified in us as men of God as we come here today to be sharpened up, to no longer be dull, Lord. You can't really use a dull knife. Most of the time you grab a knife and it's dull, you just want to throw it in the trash. Lord, so sharpen us up today. Holy Spirit, use our lives. Help us to be holy, Lord, for You are holy. Lord, give us a heart of repentance. Lord, may we be quick to repent. Knowing that we're sinners, God, may I be quick to repent, Lord. May I be more sensitive to Your Spirit today than I was yesterday, Lord God. And come and convict like only You can. Change us, Lord, from the inside out, that we would be living sacrifices for You. That we would know and remember that You purchased us with Your blood. and the hanging on the tree, Lord. You became a curse for us. You proved your love for us, God. How could we not serve you? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. A name above every name, Lord, on all the earth. Help us, God, to give way to what you would want, things that are pleasing to you. Help us to love and cherish and nourish our wives, our families, our mothers and fathers, Lord. Thank you for your precious word that teaches us. May we never be the same. As we come together to learn from you, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Fernando's going to play a song as we pass out communion. We're going to be taking communion this morning. Does everybody have communion? Fernando will play a song and then we'll partake of communion together. Amen?
Holy fire,
that is not of you and is of me. I want more of you and less of me. Anything that is not of you and is of me, I want more of you and less of me. Corinthians 11, verse 23, the Word of God reads, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's partake of the bread. Lord, we do remember. I remember. I remember your great passion, Lord, for us. As you gave your life to hang on a tree, crucified. May that power of remembrance, it compel us to seek after you more, Lord. In verse 24, when he had given thanks, in verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the cup. And Lord, we do remember your blood that was shed. And once again, Lord, may we use the power of remembering, God. May we be reminded of your great love for us, God. And may that love for us compel us to not be idle, Lord. To not be conformed, Lord God. But to be compelled to move deeper in a walk with you, Lord God. Deeper still with you. I ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would continue to teach us and convict us and guide us and comfort us. Just as you told the disciples that they would to not be worried where he was going, that he must leave, that the Holy Spirit would come. And we thank you, God, Holy Spirit, that you're here teaching us. And we do these things, Lord, in remembrance of you, the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, Lord, remembering your great love for us. And we do it in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. Thanks for letting me share, guys. God bless you.
Hey guys, just a couple quick things. You should have got a prayer request when you came in. If you haven't filled them out, get them filled out. Isabel will be coming around to collect them. And also know that we put these out on our email list, so we have a lot of people that end up lifting your prayers up around the world. What a blessing to know that. And guys, make sure you grab a breakfast card over there that has the upcoming breakfasts. Next month we'll have Todd, the overseer at the U-Turn Ranch. He's going to be speaking, and we're looking forward to that with great excitement. And we have a lot of great pastors that are going to be teaching in the coming months. So pick one up and invite a friend, and hope to see you next month. What a blessing to be able to gather again. And truly, I believe the Lord's going to work here this morning in our hearts. What a great message by Pastor John, and just a great encouragement. You know, the Lord wants the long bed, right?
Yeah.
Amen. And we don't want to give him the short bed. So, what a blessing. That was a good word. And what a sweet time. We just want to pray the Lord for Pastor John and his ministry. And we thank you, Father, for all that you're going to do. So let's close out with one worship song as Pastor Fernando leads us in the closing song.
All right.